Well, I'm going to read you in your hearing now the 24th chapter of the book of Job. As we move through this book, I'm going to seek to take the entire chapter, and you'll see why in a moment. Job chapter 24, as Job continues to hold forth truth. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, and they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of a shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheep from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their winepress and suffer thirst. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer, rising with the light, killeth the poor and the needy. And the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow water. So doth the grave those which have sinned. The womb shall forget them. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. He evil entreateth the barren that beareth not and doeth not good to the widow. He draweth also the mighty with his power. He riseth up, and no man is sure of life, though it be given him to be in safety whereupon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? Oh, may God help us as we seek to understand these words of Job this morning. You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned, my intention is to seek to focus your attention on the entirety of the 24th chapter of Job this morning. And as I do so, I want to begin with an illustration. Dare I say, even a humorous illustration that powerfully illustrates what I am convinced Job has been facing through the constant attacks of his unbelieving devil-used friends. The fact that despite Job laying reason upon reason upon reason as to why he is not what they are falsely accusing him of being, they continue to believe he is. Even as Job gives further evidence to his true character in comparison to the wicked in this 24th chapter. But Bildad is still not hearing Job, as will be seen in the 25th chapter, Lord willing, this afternoon. For it will take the rebuke of the Lord himself at the end of this book to get Job's accusing friends to face their wrong and, yes, wicked view of Job. For the man in the illustration I'm about to give powerfully pictures Job's friends, who despite the repeated evidence and the repeated testimony of godly Job, they refuse to believe what he is saying. Now, what is interesting about this man that I am referring to? Well, he's convinced that he's dead. He's convinced that he's dead despite the constant testimony of his family to the opposite. Dead men don't talk. You talk to us. Dead men don't breathe. You are breathing. Finally, as they are reaching their wits' end, this man's family thinks they have a solution. They take this man to a doctor who is an expert in the truth that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Dead men don't bleed. So through numerous means and over many times with this man, he gets the man to finally face the truth that one of the primary characteristics of a dead man is that they do not bleed. So the doctor, thinking he is convinced this living man, quickly takes out a needle and pricks the end of this man's finger. The man's finger starts to bleed. The man looks at the finger and says, "Can you believe it? Dead men bleed." The man cannot be convinced. Can you believe it? Despite all Job has been saying to his friends, still they believe that Job is the wicked person they think he is, as the next chapter will show. And this is despite what Job clearly declares in this 24th chapter that shows he clearly and rightly differentiates himself from the wicked. Now, why do I say this? First, because of what Job says was a trial to him, as it is for many truly godly people. For no truly wicked person is perplexed and troubled by what Job indicates is perplexing and troubling him in verse 1. Something that Job describes at length after verse 1. But what does Job say is perplexing him and troubling to him in verse 1? Why? Seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his day? Now, as I said, Job will go on to illustrate what he is referring to in the next verses. But what is something you see, not only with respect to Job here, thereby showing that Job cannot be the wicked person his friends think he is, but with other godly men as well in the scriptures? If I can see the ongoing wickedness of the wicked, doesn't God see it as well? Why? Seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? God, you see what's going on. The truly amazing and at times perplexing and troubling thing for true believers is the long suffering patience of the Lord with the truly wicked. Why? Seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? If I can see what the truly wicked are doing, If I can see the truly wicked times I am living in, cannot God see them as well? Yes. Can he not see what they're doing? Can he not see what they are saying? Can he not hear what they are teaching is wicked? Since times are not hidden from God, doesn't God see and hear what they are saying and doing like I do? Oh, brethren, the long-suffering of God with the truly impenitent wicked has been something that has challenged the minds of the truly godly like Job. For what do you read Jeremiah saying in Jeremiah 12, verses 1 to 5? Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they all happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit, they are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But thou, O Lord, knowest me, thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herds of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell there, and the beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. See, what's he doing? He's exactly the same thing as Job. If I can see these things, can't my God see them? Isn't he aware of what the wicked are doing? Now, how does God respond to this honest perplexity of Jeremiah? Verse 5 of Jeremiah 12. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, and thou canst, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trusted, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Jeremiah, what are you going to do when things get worse? But then you have the example of Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 1, just the 13th verse. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and hold thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he? Then you have the counsel of the psalmist in Psalm 37, just the first verse. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither thou be envious against the workers of iniquity. Now why does the psalmist have to tell you not to fret because of evildoers? Because that is what those who know that God is a holy and a righteous God often do. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? And then one final example of this is Psalm 73, the first three verses. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Oh, the amazing, long-suffering patience with the impenitent wicked that God displays is often a perplexing thing, something that causes them to fret, something that causes them even to get tripped up. This is what Job is saying in the first verse of the 24th chapter. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Lord, we have lived with the heinous shedding of innocent blood due to Roe versus Wade for over 40 years. Do you not see it? How long will they endure the misnamed Planned Parenthood and its profiting off of the taking of innocent life? Lord, we have had what you call an abomination, called something that can never be, a marriage. Lord, we have lived with the continuing unjust wars of this country for over a decade. Do you not see it? How long will you endure the military-industrial complex of this country to reap its blood money? Because if I can see it, if I can see all the impenitent wickedness in this country and in the world today, and I am not yet glorified, I am sure you see it, Lord, and your eyes are far more pure than
No truly wicked person would ask the question Job does in this opening verse. The impenitent, wicked person mocks and ridicules the truth of the just and holy judgment of God against impenitent sinners. All the best parties will be in hell. I'm having my body cremated and the ashes scattered over the ocean. No one, not even God, will be able to bring me back to stand before him in final judgment. Can't you see it? All the accolades that are being given to Fidel Castro. I only heard one mention that he was a tyrant. Can't you see these things, God? Job is continuing to show that he is not the wicked person his friends think he is. But what do they think? They think he still is. Can you believe it? Dead men bleed. But how does Job show that the indifference and even the boasting of the impenitent wicked for the very face of God is a concern to him and not something he either endorses or practices, thus continuing to show, thus giving another example that he is a godly man, that he's walking in the fear of his Lord? By differentiating himself from the wicked. Because from verses 2 to 13, in this 24th chapter, Job differentiates himself from the wicked and what they do by his use of the word they, as he describes what the truly wicked are like. Some remove the landmarks. They, not me. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the deserts, go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing that they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of a shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause them to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheep from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their wine presses and suffer thirst. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wicked crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. Dear brethren, if my count of Job's use of the word they is correct 13 times in this sobering description of what the truly impenitent wicked are like, he's contrasting himself. They're like this. Can't you hear this, my friends? That's what they're like, but you haven't seen any of these things in my life. And because of the reality that he sees these things, he knows the characteristics of the truly impenitent wicked. You go back to verse 1. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Lord, my description of what the wicked do and are capable of is not as great, is not as perfect, is not as all-knowing as yours is. And yet I can look around and they still are going on in their wickedness. The truly wicked are not burdened by what the truly wicked do. They boast in it. We came, we saw, he died. Ha, ha, ha. And What does Job do in verse 14 to 16? He gives further description of what the impenitent wicked are capable of. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The foolish, wicked person thinks that if he can hide what he is doing from men, he can hide it from God. But what has Job confessed about God? That he knows the way that I take. But the wicked think that as long as they can put it over on man, they can put it over on God. Verse 15, the eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. But Job knows where adultery starts, as he confesses later in chapter 31, so he makes a covenant with his eyes. Verse 16, in the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. But what has Job been testifying to that he knows the light and he is walking in the light? But what he has been saying about himself and about God. But what does Job know about the wicked? Not by experience, but because of his God-centered consideration of the folly of being an impenitent wicked sinner. There is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. Why? Verse 17. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadows of death. What do the truly wicked fear? What do the truly wicked fear? That they will be found out. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. I don't want any light shone on what I'm doing. That they will be found out, for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. Hit the delete button. Hit the delete button, and it's all gone. No one else knows where I've been, but God knows where you've been. Hit the delete button. Make sure you scrub the hard drive of those emails and my search history. The last thing the truly wicked honestly face is their own mortality and death. The truly wicked person labors to put the truth of his coming death, as seen in the death of those around him, behind him, and out of his or her mind as quickly as possible. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. Why do you think the impenitent wicked make accolades for wicked men like Fidel Castro? Because they don't want to face the fact of the reality that a tyrant who lived for 90 years is now in the grave. They don't want to face the reality of that. Because they don't want to face the fact that as Fidel Castro died, even as godly Job is perplexed by the long suffering of God with the impenitent wicked, what does he know? Like the psalmist in Psalm 73, when he took his burden before the Lord, how quickly God can deal with any impenitent sinner when he is pleased to do so. Verses 18 to 20, he is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow water. So doth the grave those which have sinned. The womb shall forget them. The worm shall feed sweetly on them. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. Oh yes, Fidel Castro will be remembered maybe for the next week or 10 days. But how long will he be remembered? And his wickedness shall be broken as a tree. Now, whereas I am convinced that the book of Job does answer the so-called problem of evil, it does it in a way that the unbelieving philosophers dislike and do not embrace. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your paths straight. For this is what you see Job doing. This is what you see Jeremiah do. This is what you see Habakkuk do. This is what you see the psalmist do. They take their burden before the Lord, and he ministered to them. The psalmist in Psalm 73, he says, these things were a burden to me, a perplexing to me, until he did what? Until he went in to the sanctuary of God. Then he understood their final end, that they're on a slippery slope. Yes, Fidel Castro at 90 years, but dear brethren, where is he now? Where is he now? He oppressed the Cuban people for decades. Job, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and the psalmist acknowledge God's long suffering and their perplexity. But what do? They take it. I challenge you. You take your perplexities to God. When you see the wicked going on in their wickedness, you take that perplexity to God. Because Job confronts something that the truly impenitent, wicked person does not want to think of or face unless the Lord has amazing grace and mercy upon him. The truly impenitent, wicked sinner does not want to face and does not face how easy it would be for God to arrest him or her on their walk of impenitent wickedness, either in awe-inspiring judgment or in awe-inspiring mercy. Because, dear brethren, you have both in the Scriptures. You have demonstrations of how quickly God can stop a man going on in his impenitent wickedness. Because I'll ask you, how easy was it for God to stop Saul on the Damascus? What was he doing? He was breathing out threats and slaughter against the church. And God said, this far and no farther. And he became one of the greatest missionaries of God in the world. Awe-inspiring mercy. But there are also examples of awe-inspiring judgment. Because, dear brethren, how easy was it for God to arrest proud King Herod with justice as he sucked in the praises of the crowd around him and did not give glory to God? It takes months to happen in the grave, happen before the grave. Job, even as he was perplexed about how he could see what the wicked were doing, knew as he struggled with it how easy it is for God to arrest an impenitent wicked sinner, either with mercy or with judgment. Has God arrested you? Has God arrested you? Has God arrested you with his amazing mercy and grace? Because if he doesn't, the day is coming when he will arrest you and bring you before his throne for judgment, and nothing and no one is going to be able to stay his sovereign hand. Could Fidel Castro stay the sovereign hand of the Lord when he said, tonight, thou soul is required of thee, Fidel? This is why the Lord says what he does through Isaiah. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly. But Job knows that the folly of the impenitent and unbelieving wicked is he refuses to face the truth that the Lord sees what they are doing to others. Verses 21 to 23, he evil entreateth the barren that beareth not and doeth not good to the widow. He draweth also the mighty with his power. He riseth up and no man is sure of life, though it be given to him to be in safety whereupon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their way. Dear brethren, knowing that our Lord said we're to call no man a fool, and I believe he means that in the sense of a derogatory way, because he called men fools when they wouldn't listen to what he was saying. He was burdened for them. Dear brethren, fools, what fools are unbelievers who think that because they can hide their sins from their fellow sinners, that they can hide them from God. And if you're not going to be deceived by the lying devil, the lying world, or your own lying flesh, whether believer or non-believer, commit the truth that Jeremiah, like Job, knows is true about God. Jeremiah 23, 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? That's the impenitent wicked don't want to face the fact that wherever they are, God sees them. God knows what they're doing, whatever they're doing, whatever they're thinking, whatever they're saying, whatever they're engaging in. Do they embrace that truth? Job is clearly showing he is not the wicked man that his foolish friends think he is. Job acknowledges his perplexity with the temporary prosperity of the impenitent, unbelieving wicked at the beginning of this chapter. But like the psalmist in Psalm 73, as he describes what they are like and what he is not, he ends his accurate description of them in comparison to himself. Verse 24, they are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. Dear brethren, the time of the impenitent wicked under God's sun is so short. We live in such blind days, dear brethren, because people say, well, he lived to be 90, or he lived to be 95, or he lived to be 100. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old, and he died. What's 100 years in comparison to almost a century of life, and yet he died? Time of the impenitent wicked under God's sun is so short. Yes, they can and have and continue to do great evil. But I ask you, dear brethren, where are the majority of the impenitent wicked from the last 7,000 years? Where are they? They're in their graves. They're in awaiting and knowing that the day of final judgment for all their impenitent wickedness is still ahead of them. Job is no impenitent wicked sinner, because no living impenitent wicked sinner honestly faces what Job clearly declares about them in these verses, because if they did honestly face these truths, what would they be doing? Seeking the only Savior of impenitent wicked sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you sought him? Have you sought him? Have you found him? Then you will know that what Job is saying is the truth. Verse 25, and if it be not so, now who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? Do you have a right view of the wicked as Job does? If you do, you will know personally that your only hope is to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of wicked sinners, in personal repentance and faith. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Even as you are amazed at the long suffering of God toward those who are going on in their impenitent sinning, as you are aware of how easy Oh, how easy it would be for God to arrest them on their wicked path, even as he arrested you by his amazing grace and mercy. Believer, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. You could arrest them in wrath, but you could if you were pleased to arrest them in mercy. Will you please not arrest them in mercy, not in your wrath? We can see demonstrations of that wrath. But we long to see demonstrations of you arresting sinners in that amazing mercy found in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what do formerly dead sinners see? They see the light of the glory of the saving gospel of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you seen the light of the saving gospel of God in the birth, in the life, in the death, in the resurrection, in the ascension, and in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Blessed are you if you have. Have you? Let us pray. Oh Lord, how clear Job is in testifying to the fact that he is not a wicked person. He has been redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, and how clear he is in testifying to the true nature and character of those who are impenitent in their wickedness. And, O Lord, how we tremble for your demonstrations of how easy it is for you to take anyone from time into eternity. O Lord, that Fidel Castro lived for many years. He did much wickedness. He went on holding on to his dictatorship and his tyranny, and the time came when you said tonight, today. And now that man who caused so much suffering and affliction to others is gone to his reward, and who can even begin to comprehend what that reward is? And so we bow before you, Lord, and ask that in wrath you would remember mercy as we think of those who show by their words and actions and life that they live for nothing but their sin in whatever form it takes. Oh, how we pray that you would arrest them in some wonderful way by your grace and by your gospel, and then they would understand why it is we can face death with hope. We can face death with rejoicing because we know that our Redeemer liveth, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, Lord, what a gift of your grace it is to be able to face this last enemy, knowing that your Son has died to save his people from their sins. And so, O Lord, give us of your grace as we lay hold of you for the mercy that so many need, those we know and love who show by their words and deeds that they are not living in the light of the truth, that you are the God who could arrest any one of us and take us out of this world in the twinkling of an eye. And so, O Lord, I pray that we might know the blessing of constantly seeking you through your Son, and thus knowing the blessing of walking in the light of your Son, who is the light of the world. May he be the light of our lives. We ask in his wonderful name. Amen.